Good morning, everyone. Our first speaker of the day is Dick White. As far as I'm concerned, he needs no introduction. He taught me literally everything I know about real estate law. But Dick is a partner at Winstead in Dallas and practices a wide variety of real estate and mostly focused on lending and financing. Dick is well known in the community for being a speaker. He has written over 30 scholarly publications. He annually writes the SMU Law Case Law Update on Real Estate, which is sort of the base for the presentation you're getting this morning. He's been selected for the best lawyers in America, Super Lawyers of Texas, Who's Who in America, and pretty much every other accolade you can get. So, Dick, please take the podium and tell us about the new and exciting cases this year.
Thanks, Amanda. Good morning, everyone. We've got Amanda's also doing this presentation, but you'll have to tolerate me today, and then she'll pick up tomorrow. We've got so many cases, I'm going to try to run through them as fast as I can. Hopefully, we can get to all of them. I should mention, as I said, we have over 100 cases to talk about. None of them are earth-shattering this year, unlike some past years, but there are some we'll probably pause on and put a little more effort and interest into. So let's start with the first one, a foreclosure case. Ditech brought a foreclosure suit in a Hidalgo County court, number four, and Perez raised jurisdictional challenges to it because, as you know, most county courts don't allow foreclosure actions. But the Supreme Court looked at this and said, well, there are two classes of county courts. There's the constitutional one, which we all think of, which has jurisdictional limits of $500 to $250,000, but they can't handle title issues. But there's a statutory set of rules for county courts, and those have special rules. It's in the Texas Government Code, Section 15-1102. And there, Hidalgo County Court Number 4, County Court Number 4, had an expanded jurisdiction, which allowed up to $750,000 jurisdictional limits and also allowed title issues. So in this case, the court said those are cumulative and independent, and so that was a proper action brought in that court. Next, we'll talk about some credits to judgment liens. In this case, there was a $15 million judgment lien held by Ferri Naturae, and they abstracted it in numerous counties in Texas. So the holder of that judgment lien started partially selling off judgments county by county, and one of the counties even had an assignment of the rights in that county, the lien rights, of over $20 million. So when they got around to foreclosing against Hibernia, the debtor, Hibernia alleged that they should receive credits from the sales of these partial assignments of the interest in the various counties. So the court looked at that to determine whether, in fact, that was allowed. They actually didn't reach a substantive ruling on that because Hibernia did not submit sufficient evidence for the lien satisfaction. So they didn't really reach the issue, but I think the answer is you probably can do that. You probably can get a settlement credit for those. Hibernia also raised some issues about the foreclosure, the parties to the foreclosure, but the court noted since it's an in rem jurisdiction that only the current title interest holders were necessary parties, which they were in this case. Here's kind of the backwards type of situation where the bank in this case was the tenant. And there was a foreclosure on the property, and the bank walked three of the leases and stayed in the fourth one. And so the lease provisions said that the lease was subject and subordinate to the mortgage, but that the mortgagee could make it superior to the mortgage.